Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready? Yeah.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news in the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Morda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news that's related to boxing. We'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorton. I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today. And if you want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857. And tonight, we're going to talk about a few things, but one of the big topics here, Wilder versus Helenius. The numbers are in, the pay-per-view numbers are in, and they didn't look too promising here. So more on that later, but hey, let's get to it. ESPN Plus. Steve, I've told you a million times, I love how they treat our boxers. The main event last night, Duke Reagan versus Luis Lebron. Unbelievable. Duke Reagan, the credit that they give him, putting him on these main event cards all the time, headlining in New York, no less. See, he's proven to me that he can sell out arenas, because every arena he's been has either been close to or fully sold out. You're talking about an Olympian, Beep. You're talking about a guy from Cincinnati who's made it to the top, selling out venues. Just, it blows my mind. Future star here. He's got the biggest upside of anybody, I would say, in boxing history right now. Duke Reagan. Reagan continues his winning ways as he smashes Luis Lebron by the scores of 77-75, which I thought was a little close, 78-74, which is much better, and 79-73. And once again, I even thought the 79-73 was a little bit closer than it should have been. Duke whitewashed this kid. It wasn't even close. I would think that Duke Reagan is probably the best boxer out today. Steve, I don't know if I mentioned this. Do you know he's from Cincinnati?
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, it was incredible. If you have a chance to see this, if you didn't see it last night, go watch it, because you're watching the best going today. That's what I'm telling you. All right. Now, on to the co-main event. Vasyl Lomachenko versus Jermaine Ortiz. And Lomachenko wins a unanimous decision over Jermaine Ortiz by the scores of 115-113, 116-112, and 117-111. I got to be honest, man, I love Lomachenko. I really do. But really was not that impressed with him in this fight. I thought Ortiz was a little too big for him. Loma had some issues early with Ortiz. I think the size, I think his strength played into it. But soon after, Loma seemed to settle in. He started winning rounds. I had the fight 115-113 for Loma. After the fight, Loma called out Devin Haney. And I got news for you guys, man. That fight right there, complete mismatch. Haney is going to dog walk Loma in that. If that fight happens, Haney's dog walking him. If the Shakur fight happens, Shakur is going to dog walk him. Listen, what I saw last night in that fight, I saw a guy who's had a lot of fights, amateur and professional, and you're starting to see a decline there. Okay. He's not as fast as he used to be. He's not as defensive as he used to be. He's not as defensively responsible as he used to be. Let's say that. Not that the guy he was fighting was, you know, good or bad, doesn't matter. I'm telling you what I'm seeing. Loma should have washed that guy, and he didn't. I've noticed this for the past couple of fights. We're starting to see a decline. Now, listen, man, don't get mad at me. I didn't do anything. I didn't cause the decline. It just is. It's part of boxing. There's a lot of Loma fans out there throwing over furniture. I can't believe he said that. Listen, it is what it is. He is going on a decline now. He's not going to win those big fights. I really believe he's not going to win those. He's not beating Haney. He's not beating Shakur. I'll be honest with you, I don't think he beats Gervonta Davis right now. I think Tank ices that guy. So,
you
Bee, what were your thoughts on this man?
You made an excellent statement, and I kind of want to elaborate more on what you said, that his defense isn't what it used to be. And when you have a fighter whose defense primarily has been his legs, right, because his biggest thing was getting in there, moving out of harm's way, and getting out there resetting, right? And as you get older, what's the first thing that goes? Your legs, right? He's never been that guy like a James Toney or a Bernard Hopkins or even an Andre Ward to some degree, where they had, you know, their defense was a lot of it. They could stay stationary in the pocket and make you miss Floyd Mayweather, same thing, can make you miss and pay Pernell Whitaker with upper body movement, right? And that's why when those guys got older, they transitioned well into their later years because of the style they had. But when you have a fighter a la Roy Jones, a la Muhammad Ali, who's their primary defense was their legs, their movement. Sergio Martinez, another guy, we saw what Cotto did to him as he got older, right? So when your defense is your legs, it doesn't bode well for you in your later years. Now, I get a lot of flack for saying this once again, and I know people that the same people that are going to have flipped over chairs after what you just said, they're probably going to start putting holes in their walls after what I'm going to be saying right now. Like I said before, and I'll say it again, if I had a vote, I would vote Lomachenko into the Hall of Fame tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Great fighter.
Better than Arturo Gatti.
Correct. But I do think a lot of people have overrated him, right? When you hear things like, oh, well, he's got the highest power punch connect ratio in boxing history, and he's in lightweight history, even higher than Roberto Duran. Okay, that's like saying a guy's batting 1,000 when he only gets up 10 times, and the guy who got up 100 times is batting 450. What's more impressive? I mean, look how many more fights Roberto Duran had. So they go out of their way to kind of elevate Lomachenko and make him more than what he is. I never thought he was a better fighter than Terrence Crawford when they were trying to say that Lomachenko was the best fighter in the sport. To me, Terrence Crawford, much more versatile, much more talented fighter than Lomachenko. And again, that's not a slight. That's just me being real. Now, he's always been undersized at lightweight. And you saw when he entered the lightweight division, he started getting hit more than he's ever gotten hit before. But the percentage of the times that his opponents were hitting him were much higher than it was at 130 and 126. And he's even admitted he had a hard time dealing with these guys, the taller and longer guys. He's a mid-range guy. He's not an inside fighter. He's really not a great outboxer either. He's a mid-range guy. He's an ambush mid-range guy, likes to go in and out. He'll turn you, right? Kind of a pattern fighter, too. Like, he does have great movement. He does move from side to side. But when he does create those angles, those are defensive angles. He'll move side to side to create problems for his opponent to hit him, right? It's hard for his opponent to pin him down. But when he does attack, he does always stop in the middle and move straight in. Now, again, you still got to time him and all that. I get that. But he is kind of a pattern fighter, sort of like how Manny Pacquiao was. They tend to fight in the same rhythmic patterns and they have the same attack patterns over and over again. Once again, you still got to time those attack patterns. Don't get me wrong. Right? So he's a great fighter. But I think his time has come. And he has a hard time fighting guys who are bigger and longer that don't know how to fight on the outside. And when he does try to get close or whatever, when guys wrap him up, Jermaine Ortiz wrapped him up and he was kind of bullying him and muscling him and walking him back, releasing the clinch and pushing him off. And he was jabbing off of those clinches that he was releasing to. And Jermaine Ortiz did very well in that fight. Like you, I had it 115 to 113 as well. Credit to Loma, I thought he won the last four rounds. You could argue that 12th round was a swing. But nevertheless, he's undersized for this division. He's starting to slow down with his legs. And I just don't think he can beat Haney. I just don't think he can beat Haney because Haney knows how to use his length. He's got a phenomenal jab. And if Lomachenko does get close, he can grab him, walk him back, lean on him, push him backward, and not allow Loma to use his legs, not allow Loma to attempt to outmaneuver him. I just think he's going to have a hard time dealing with the younger, stronger, quicker, fresher Devin Haney. And I think it could turn into a, it could possibly be another one-sided fight for Devin Haney. And I say that with all due respect to Lomachenko. I just think it's a horrible style matchup for Lomachenko. I think if he can't operate in that mid-range, he will get beat on the outside, just like he was getting beat on the outside last night when there was distance between the two of them. Jermaine Ortiz was really doing some good work with the jab, really throwing the right hand over the top from a distance, similar to what Teofimo Lopez did when he kept him on the outside of his jab. So that's going to be a big issue for him moving forward. I think that Paulie Malignaggi's made statements like he doesn't think Devin Haney's going to take this fight. Devin Haney walked into the ring and practically challenged him to the
Devin
fight.
Devin Haney is going to crush
him.
Fight isn't even close. I'm going to tell you, it's a mismatch, B. I'm telling you right now, this fight is a wash.
I think it is.
Close to beating Haney.
He's not beating Haney.
He wouldn't even. He's not beating Shakur at this point. He's not beating Haney at this point. I said it before he came on the air. He's not beating Gervonta Davis at this point. I think Gervonta Davis washes him.
Mitchell makes a good point about Devin Haney making 135. I think he can do it one more time, Mitchell. I think he can. I think he'll fight Lomachenko. That will be his last fight at 135.
He can absolutely make 135.
Yeah. And I do think Top Rank will make it worth Devin Haney's while.
They're making that fight.
Because Top Rank wants to fight ESPN. Everybody wants to fight. So both guys are going to get taken care of, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Bob Arum said after, he said they're going to do everything they can to make this fight. So that fight will happen. They're both in-house fighters. Devin Haney walked into the ring. He wants to fight. He's not going. I mean, why would he walk into the ring if he's not it? You know what I mean? Of course they're going to fight. It's the easiest fight to make next. It really is. It's a no-brainer. I just don't think think that, like I said, man, we've been noticing the past couple of fights has been a decline there. You know, that time off, he was almost off, a year?
Almost a year.
Almost a year? That ain't helping you out either, son.
You know, and I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but I'm going to say it. Maybe he wasn't ready for Kambosos. I don't know if he wasn't ready for Kambosos. I think he would have beaten Kambosos. You know, he said that he was staying in Ukraine, you know, to help out over there. But, you know, Oleksandr Usyk was asked the same question. You know, you were over there, but you decided to come back and fight Joshua. And Usyk's response was, I was there for moral support, to help out my country, like give them moral support. I am not a soldier.
Yeah, they're not putting them guys on the front lines.
Yeah. Did it make sense for Loma to stay as long as he did there? I mean, what could he have done if he's not a soldier? Neither is Usyk. So should he, is it his, I mean, did he, like, did he, again, did he put himself, just like when he accepted the franchise, and again, this is controversial. This is controversial. And if you can criticize this if you want. I welcome it. I mean, I'm not saying this is just my opinion. I'm not saying that my opinion is, you know, gold standard here. Well, it kind of is. But I just think that, like, because they're not soldiers, what could they have done there? I mean, you go there, spend some time for moral support. But Usyk came back and he fought Joshua and he beat him. So I do think Lomachenko did miss up on a golden opportunity. I think he should have taken the Kambosos fight because, in my opinion, and it's not even my place to say it, but in my opinion, from the outside looking in, you know, you did all you could do. You know, I think you should have came back and taken the Kambosos fight. And I think, you know, by him accepting that franchise designation, I think that kind of screwed things up too. So some of these moves that he made that I think kind of stagnated his career a little bit, I think were his own fault. And I think that they were bad moves, in my opinion. But again, that's just my opinion. What do I know?
Yeah, I don't mind that he stayed over there. I don't. I really don't mind. I think if you asked him, he has probably zero regrets about it. He's staying there to help his country. I don't have any problems with it. Sometimes things are bigger than You know what I mean? So, but that's what he chose. But that's what he chose. You know? So, you know, and how old is Loma now?
I think he's closing in on 34, I think. Getting up there. And keep in mind, as you already stated, the guy's had an excessively long amateur career, and that takes years off your pro career. Right?
Absolutely does.
So, totality of time he spent in his lifetime boxing is equivalent to probably Sugar Ray Robinson's pro career, you know, of 170. Like this guy, how many amateur fights has this guy had? They say he's had over
a couple hundred, or 300 maybe, or I know he's been to the Olympics twice, right?
Yeah,
he's got two medals or something, right? Or one medal? I don't know.
I think he got one gold medal, but I'm not sure if he's been in a couple of Olympics. But
yeah.
But here's the thing, like I said, if you count in the amount of time spent in the amateurs, he's got a lot of miles on him.
Yeah.
So it is what it is.
I don't know, man. To me, and Dale hit it on the head. He said, total respect for Loma for halting his boxing career to defend this. I get you. Yeah, and Notorious said he's got two golds. What's that?
Two golds. No, I mean, like, I understand, like, the whole defend this country thing, but again, he's not a soldier. So you're there for moral support.
Well, he did help people over there. I mean, you are helping people. I'm not saying something.
I'm not saying help people, but,
right.
Again, you know, how much of an – like, there's only so much you can do.
I agree.
That's just my opinion.
And I agree with you. I do. In a boxing sense, it hurts you. As his heart goes and his country, you know, I think he did the right thing. I don't really think there's a wrong answer. I really don't. Whatever he decides was the right answer.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not even for me to say, but again, I say a lot of things that it's not for me to say. I wouldn't be who I am if I didn't, right?
All right. Let's talk about Robesi Romero. Robesi Ramirez versus Jose Matias Romero. Ramirez wins by TKO over Romero. The fight was stopped in the ninth round. Robesi looks good, but I thought he could have got that guy out of there sooner. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. My wife just texted me, so we know not to rely on Beeb in a war. Beeb, how dare you? Beeb's a veteran.
I have a DD214 that I just sent to Comcast that got me a military discount coupon. Beeb is official.
He's official. All right? How dare
you? Let me tell you this.
Try to take a dump on the Beeb.
At 53 years old, I'm not a soldier anymore. You know, and Loma's not a soldier either. He's 33. I mean, he's not a soldier anymore. Fighting is for the youngins.
That's right.
That's the fact of the matter.
Notorious says Mrs. Lorda's out of line. I tell him that all the time.
Steve has a DD214 in his closet right now that he can pull out on command. Those are my papers. I had to send him to Comcast so I get my discount. I was a marksman. I got the medals.
There it is.
I was good with a freaking M16. That's how old I was. They have AR-15s and all that. I was using M16.
Beeb was good at the muskets, man. What are you talking about? He was fine. Did you have to, like, reload after every shot? Did you have to, like, reload it and, like, pack it down and stuff?
Man. Nice magazine with 32 shells. little banana clip action.
Little banana clips. Nicol Ali Walsh versus Billy Wagner. In case anybody out there didn't know, Nicol Ali Walsh is the grandson of Muhammad Ali. He won a unanimous decision 58-56 twice and 59-55. I'll tell you what, man. I thought he looked good, man. I really did. I think he's going to – he could be good, I think, but I think they're going to rush him. They're going to keep him at, you know, until they get a prospect that comes along that they need to, you know, advance or whatever. But he looked good, man. He really did. Showtime. What's that?
I was going to say, they're doing what they're moving him correctly.
Yeah.
So
he is getting better. Jake Paul versus Anderson Silva on Showtime pay-per-view. I did not buy this fight, and I don't hate that I didn't. I did see the fight, though. We did see the fight. It was good. It was good. Jake Paul wins a unanimous decision over Anderson Silva by the scores of 77-74 and 78-73 twice. Jake Paul's from Title Town, so what did you expect? I had to fight 77-74 for Silva. I thought Silva was winning the fight, but it was close. Jake floored Anderson in the eighth round. Paul fought well, man, better than anybody expected to win this fight. It's the biggest of his career. After the fight, he called out Nate Diaz and Canelo Alvarez. I think one of those fights can happen. But, overall, like I said, I thought Anderson won the fight, but I'm not mad Jake won. I thought he did pretty good. I thought he surprised me by having he seemed to have more energy on the back end of the fight than he did in the front end, which was, everybody's always talking about Jake, losing steam as he goes in. B, what were your thoughts on this?
This fight was kind of a tough fight to score, but I do think Jake Paul's activity kind of carried the day. I think, Anderson Silva did land some good left hands in the fight, but they were far fewer in between. I think Jake Paul was the one controlling the action. He was the ring general. He was pushing Anderson Silva back. I thought that Anderson Silva started slowing down later in the fight, and I think Paul showed me some good stamina. He showed me some consistency. He was just as active towards the end of the fight as he was in the beginning. He was landing some good right hands over the top. He controlled his pretty well. He didn't fall for too many of Anderson Silva's traps. Anderson Silva, I think, was waiting a little bit too much, hoping that Jake Paul would go deeper in the pocket than he did so he could run him into something. And Jake Paul wasn't, he wasn't taking the bait. So I thought it was a solid performance from Jake Paul. I mean, people are going to sit there and say that Anderson Silva is 47 years old, and you can't get past the fact that he is 47 years old. This 47-year-old could probably beat a lot of guys who are probably half his age. So I'll give him credit for that.
Thought he looked good. I thought he looked real good. Who do you think he fights next? You think he fights Nate Diaz next?
Nate Diaz.
That makes the most sense. That's a good fight. That's a real good fight. Nate Diaz can box. Andre Ward, you spar them regularly. Both Diaz brothers regularly. So he said, Ward says, hey, they are legit. They can fight. So there you go. On the zone, we had Jojo Diaz versus William Zepeda. Zepeda rolls over Diaz by unanimous decision, 119-109 twice and 118-110. Beeb, what were your thoughts here?
I picked Zepeda to win this fight by knockout. And on the roundtable last week, we were styling myself that Zepeda would win handily. The rest of the panelists actually picked Jojo. To me, again, Jojo's only 29 years old, but he's kind of an old 29 in the sport because of his outside lifestyle. I think he's taken a lot of years off his career. I'm not saying when Jojo enters training camp, he doesn't prepare himself properly, doesn't train hard. But once again, if you're starting your training camp, with a great distance away from the finish line, in other words. So you want to go into camp relatively in decent shape. You're not going to be in your prime condition, obviously, but if you're going into training camp and you're, like I said, a lot farther away from the finish line than you should be, and your starting point is not a good starting point, then your camp isn't going to be the best camp it could be, right? So I just think that JoJo's had some outside issues and has a style where, he's undersized for this division, but he has a style in which he kind of acts like he's like a mini Mike Tyson in the way that he fights, thinking that he can just kind of bulldoze guys and overwhelm guys with his pressure. But he's not a big puncher, right? And William Zepeda, to me, was a bigger, stronger, younger, faster version of Jojo Diaz with some pretty decent punching power, right? So I just think that, William Zepeda outworked Jojo Diaz, and I think he really pushed him back, and Jojo Diaz couldn't get any forward more momentum in this fight. And Jojo Diaz does not fight well off the back foot. He's a come-forward type guy who likes to apply pressure of his own. And if he's going in there with a guy who can do it better than him, then he's going to be up against it. Now, I hate to say this because I know we do this quite frequently here on the show, but the DAZN broadcast team is the worst broadcast team ever. And I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to go out here on a limb and say that Sergio Mora is probably the worst boxing analyst in the history of the sport. He's sitting there during the fight saying that this fight is close and it's competitive, right? And meanwhile, Chris Mannix gave Jojo Diaz the sixth round only. The judges gave him one round, and one judge gave him two rounds. This fight was not even remotely close or competitive. And then when you're sitting there, like, they were openly rooting for Jojo Diaz, like, oh, I need Jojo to do this. Why should you need him to do anything unless you got money on the fight? You're a commentator. You don't need anyone to do anything. You commentate on what's going on. And then after the fight, after the scorecards are read and Chris Mannix said that he only won one round, then he goes, yeah, this was a one-sided beatdown. Which one is it, Sergio? You said it was competitive and you're basically trying to create some type of narrative that isn't there because it's clear that you're biased towards Jojo Diaz. And then at the end of the fight, he's like, oh, this is a one-sided beatdown. Worst broadcast team ever, man. I have no idea
why DAZN never picked up Jim Lampley. I love Jim Lampley. I like the way he calls fights. No idea why they never picked up Jim Lampley. No idea why they never picked up Roy Jones. No, I mean, like, they suck. Chris Mannix sucks.
Sergio Mora is horrible.
I'm not going to go that far. Sergio Mora sucks. Who's the other guy they got on there?
Todd Grisham.
He sucks too. All right.
WWE guy.
Oh yeah, he sucks too.
This horrible, man. This I can't. Fake. I mean,
they're horrible.
Ridiculous.
And that was the main event. How about that was the main event on DAZN? How about that was the main event? Give me a break. Also on DAZN, the Katie Taylor versus Karen Carvajal. Nobody really cares about that fight, so we're going to move forward here.
Take it easy.
What'd I do?
I have to be honest with you. Very, very, very uneventful fight. I mean, Katie Taylor won every round.
Wait a minute. We had a chick fight that was what? Uneventful? Well,
it wasn't.
Let's just stop the presses. Let's just stop the presses here. The chick fight was uneventful. I, for one, am shocked. That much I can tell you, B.
Wasn't a great fight. It was a very one-sided fight.
Yeah. Who could have predicted that? And after 20 minutes of action, Katie Taylor goes home the champ. After 20 minutes versus 36 on the men's side. I'm just saying. Not that it's not saying that, I mean, if you're a man, you got to fight 36 minutes versus, being a chick, you're 20 minutes. There you go. Dale, I think you got that right. You said Eric sleeps on the couch every Sunday. Pretty much. That's it. and there's Lisa. Watch it, Lorta. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, really, like, was this a main event fight? Even for girls, I mean, this was not a main event fight, right?
I mean, DAZN had some good fights this year, but I don't think this was an overall solid year for DAZN. I mean, we got that fight next week. That's a pretty good fight, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Some of these other calls, I don't think they've been consistent, in my opinion.
No. Don Ramon, me, he said, I skipped the Katie Taylor fight. She's cool, though. No disrespect, just preference. That's right. That's all it is. I've got no disrespect toward them.
I mean, you like what you like. There's no way of getting around
that. That's right. And I don't like inferior boxing. That's it. All right. Let's talk about, before we go to the upcoming fights, I see Robert's on the line, our birthday boy. Robert, it is Robert's, it was Robert's birthday this weekend.
Robert, before you start spewing your ridiculous nonsense, I want to just wish you a happy birthday, man.
Oh, that's nice. That's very nice.
I want to wish you a happy birthday, Robert, before you start off with your
Thank you, guys. And Joe, I'm not going to spew anything ridiculous.
Please stop polluting our airwaves with your nonsense. I want to wish you a happy birthday.
No, I'm not gonna spew any nonsense today because I don't have any nonsense.
How old are you, Robbie?
58.
How old are you? 72.
58.
72.
Well, you look 72, but.
Oh my
72.
God.
72.
Yeah.
Robbie's only 58. He's a young man, for Christ's sake, B.
Yeah.
You seen your citizen discount yet?
Oh, stop it.
I've been getting senior citizen discounts since I was 55, Joe.
Did you get that present I sent you in the mail?
Happy 82nd birthday.
And remember, in a couple of years, Joe, you'll be eligible for senior discounts too. So.
Oh, don't worry about that. I'll find a way to get it earlier than that.
but maybe
in the hospital than I am.
Even wish you a happy birthday this weekend, Robert?
No, you're the only one that texted me this weekend, Eric.
He sent them a great present, man. Gave him 1 month's free prescription of Cialis for 30 days, man.
Yeah, right.
What's
give me a
you?
Break.
What are you going to do with that?
I won't even
so
go weird. There. I won't even go there.
March is porno.
Oh, my God.
Robert.
Give me a
so
break.
So do you frequent the massage parlors, Robert, like the Beeb does?
No, that's Joe's bailiwick. I'm going to let him do that. But let's move on to the purpose of this show. Joe, you've been on point all day today. Outstanding points on pretty much all of your points.
Oh, give me a break, will you? Are you serious? Now you're going to jump on Joe's bandwagon?
Hey, Eric,
come on.
Are you kidding me? Eric, when you make good comments, I always point them out. But today, Joe has been on point more than you have.
He sucks.
Give me a break. I watched that DAZN card last night, and I've always said that Sergio Mora doesn't belong in that job. And last night was a perfect example of that. He was trying to tell everybody.
Horrible.
He was trying to tell everybody that fight was competitive. Hell, it wasn't competitive after round one. You could tell right away that it was going to be a one-sided beatdown. If not, the only thing that could have saved it from being a one-sided beatdown is if Cepeda would have knocked out Diaz, because that's how one-sided it was.
And Robbie.
Yeah.
And Robbie, they kept acting like Joe Diaz was going to land that one shot to turn the fight around. He's just not that guy. He's not a one-punch knockout guy. Oh,
no.
There's three rounds left. There was three rounds left in the fight. And then you know what Mora goes? Oh, well, this fight's not over. I mean, still three rounds left. JoJo can pull this one out. No, he can't pull it out. What evidence do you have to suggest that he can pull it out? When does he ever stop someone with one punch later in the round?
And JoJo Diaz only has 15 knockouts in 35 fights.
Right.
You know, you've got to know the history.
Even you could have done a better job last night commentating.
Absolutely, I could have, because I pay attention to fights. I know what I watch. I know what I see. And I could tell from round one that, okay, this thing is not going to end good for JoJo, just like Vasily Lomachenko. If that fight is made with Devin Haney, it'll be the last major payday he receives, because I wouldn't be surprised if Haney doesn't shut him out 12-0 in that fight. Lomachenko beat who he was supposed to beat last night, but he is not going to beat Devin Haney. There's no possible way.
I'm saying it. Are you there?
Sorry about that. My only caveat.
Why don't you get prepared before you call here?
Call into the show. You need to be prepared, all
right?
Right.
He calls on a trap phone. You know what I'm saying?
I am prepared.
He got it at the local, flea market or whatever.
Oh
this is the prime reason
at all.
Why the powers that be had to cut you loose, because you're not prepared.
No, anyway.
that be?
That fight is going to be a complete mismatch. My only caveat to that.
That's what I said.
As I know you said that. My only caveat to that is I don't know.
Do you have a stenographer in your house right now that writes everything down that me and Eric say, and then you just call in and read it back to us? What's going on with you?
This is some birthday call. I'll tell you why. Yeah.
to this call. Don't just start it with Habib and Eric. Lord, it says, mother of God. I wonder why you got the pink slip. But go ahead.
Oh. Don't start with that, Joe. Come on. And I just finished complimenting you, and that's the thanks I get. Okay, but
I'm a profit bagger. You know how I work. You know how I operate.
Yeah. Anyway, no. That is going to be a complete mess match. My only caveat to that is I don't know if Haney can stick around long enough, because I would love to see him fight. Shakur Stevenson, but I don't know if he can stay in 135 long enough to do that.
But they'll eventually catch up to each other. I think they'll both end up, like Eric said earlier, finishing up at 147, both of them.
Yeah, I think so, too. They're both big enough.
Okay, yeah. Well, I think the Stevenson, the future Stevenson-Haney fight will be one of those super fights that you can build up. And I would love to see those two in the ring.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, Robert. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I'm gonna get moving here.
Remember, only take one of those pills every 3 days.
Don't go crazy with them.
Don't think because one is good, two is going to be better.
No,
we don't want you
it doesn't work that way.
We don't want you poking holes in the wall back in Cali.
Yeah.
Joe, give me a break, huh?
Yeah, Joe, he doesn't need those pills.
Yeah, give me a break.
You.
See you later.
Yeah, he's only 58. There you go. All right. 805, you're live.
Hey, guys, what's going on? Beam, stop it. Jesus, I know you're still salty. It's okay.
How you doing this fine Sunday, brother?
I'm good, Beam, except for you always trying to bust my balls for some weird reason. But anyway,
some dumb reason. He doesn't like it, you know. He just has to,
yeah.
He has to start something. You know how he is.
Exactly.
I'm a cantankerous old man. I'm getting up there. Go ahead.
So, in regards to Loma, I mean, to a certain extent, yes, he's declined a little bit. But I mean, the rust and the time off definitely is a factor. You got to give Ortiz some credit. I mean, Loma wasn't fighting some nobody that legitimately had no business being in there with him. The kid is huge for being a 135-pounder, and he won some rounds, and he gave him trouble. I mean, Beeb's right in that Loma gets hit more at 35, but it's not like he's facing guys that are necessarily his size. He's taking on guys who are a lot bigger than he is and still able to, hold his own against them and even beat them. And so the fact that, he still was able to give Ortiz trouble and then take over the fight in the second half of the fight and not really Ortiz really wasn't effective at all. He ran out of gas pretty much from the eighth round on. I mean, Loma just took over, and he legit, won that fight. I think 117, 111 was ridiculous. Like, whoever scored that fight that way is nuts. I thought you could give him – At worst, I thought the fight was 8-4, but I scored at 7-5 for Loma. I thought he won by
a
couple points.
7-5 for him.
You know, he won. But Beeb, like I said in the chat, I think the biggest thing is going to be, will Haney be able to squeeze down to 35 and not look like a Walking Dead cast member for that fight against Loma? That's going to be the biggest question, because he literally did not look really good. He's just very fortunate that he fought Kambosos, who legitimately couldn't get out of first gear at any point in time in that fight, and he was able to just safely outbox him and not really have to expend any energy. But I think against Loma, it's going to be a whole different ball game, in that he's going to be able to, you know, come at him and set the pace and really try to get Haney tired. So there are some questions on both sides, but like you said, let's hope the fight gets made. Yeah.
Camacho. Lomachenko is a slow start. He's a slow starter. He's notorious for really starting off slow for the first three or four rounds. He gets behind early, right? Haney can coast.
Yep.
Haney can coast.
I mean,
he's not going to start
there
sooner.
Could be.
He doesn't fight a fast pace. He doesn't fight at a fast pace anymore. He's not a volume guy, Lomachenko. He doesn't start at a fast pace. Right?
He's not a volume guy, but he definitely he's not a volume guy, D, but
he's from freaking Massachusetts. We don't fuck around over here. We just think he was gonna walk in that ring and not give him a good fight. He's from fucking Mass.
He was fighting a dead man last night, D. Give me a break. The guy was just back for more. He's been off for a year. How good was he really?
I mean
we're used to warriors in Massachusetts.
I mean, you talking about a guy, I mean, listen, it's not like he was in there against Duke Reagan last night. I mean, come on.
Man, we fight wars every day. We're in the concrete jungle over here, man. You know how it is here. We walk a higher path over here, man. But go ahead, Nacho. Proceed.
It's not time,
then,
I'll tell you that.
What's it called? Eric just brought it up. I wanted to talk about that Duke Reagan. Man, LeBron got hosed on that one. There's no way Reagan won that fight. Yeah.
What?
He got hosed. There's no way Reagan won that fight.
Are you kidding me?
Eric,
did you watch that fight?
Yes, I did watch that fight. Reagan literally held on for dear life in the second half of that fight. And not only
that,
he spit his mouthpiece out multiple times, Eric. Come on, Eric.
You know what?
He spit
his mouthpiece was a boil and bite mouthpiece. It was a boil and bite mouthpiece. You could see it. Of course, it's going to drop.
And whose fault is
that?
That's
Reagan's
fault.
It is.
That's Reagan's fault.
But to his credit, he went in there and fought anyway. Duke Reagan would
have
fought.
He should have had points
deducted
for that. He should have had points deducted for that. He did that like multiple times.
For not having his mouthpiece, his regular mouthpiece, and going in there and fighting?
He spit his mouthpiece out on a few different occasions.
First
to
of all,
get time.
Spit the mouthpiece
you know?
Out. He did not. The mouthpiece did not fit properly.
Didn't fit properly.
Whatever it was.
It fit like OJ's gloves.
Come on. If it doesn't fit, you must have quit. Is that what you're resorting to now, Eric?
That's
come on.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
That's right.
Come on.
I thought Duke Reagan won every minute of every round. It was a whitewash.
I thought
79 was too far, too wide.
No,
it should have been 80.
That's insane.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh,
come on. No, that's just the hometown homer and you giving this guy
that
every
round.
That was like an 80-63
fight, man. Duke
that's
Reagan
crazy.
Was killing him.
No, come on.
Crushing him.
I
mean, it was a massacre.
Then,
how could you even, condone that?
No, I can't believe you're condoning the fact that he got away with spitting out his mouthpiece. And they gave him all these ridiculous calls. Come on.
Eric. It was an easy, easy win for my man Duke Reagan.
Yeah.
How about he was on the main event? They put him on the main event, baby.
And then, and then just lastly, that JoJo Zepeda. Zepeda just put it on him. Like Beeb said, the fact that the DAZN team was openly trying to cheerlead for him in that fight was just ridiculous. It's like, dude, you're supposed to be unbiased and neutral. They were just as bad as Tim Bradley and Andre Ward were a couple weeks ago for the Shields Marshall and the Baumgartner Meyer fight. You cannot be openly rooting for somebody to win and call yourself an objective observer and commentator. That's just ridiculous. The fact that guys do that and then try to turn around and say I'm an unbiased come on. No, you're not, because you're openly rooting for people and we can hear you saying who you want to win. Like, that's insane that these guys do that and then
– Nacho,
and
I need so-and-so to do this. Why do you need him to do that? Again, do you
exactly.
have money on him? I mean,
yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's the point that the part that's just like, come on. Like, if you're openly saying that, then you're really rooting for a guy to win. You're not being unbiased in any way, shape, or form. Like, that's crazy. So, you know. But anyway. All right, guys. I'm
sure
you
got other people. What did you think of the Katie Taylor fight? What did you think of the Katie Taylor fight?
It's exactly what you said, Eric. It was just a sparring session.
It was terrible.
It was just a sparring session.
And why is it when Nacho says it? Why is it when Nacho says it's okay when I say it? I'm the bad guy.
I mean, I expect more from you, man. I mean,
you expect more from me.
Nacho calls in here. Nacho calls in here half asleep.
We expect this from Nacho, but not from me. I guess.
Nacho calls in here half asleep half the time. I can't take him seriously always.
Eric,
all right,
can
Nacho,
we just
get
running? All right.
What's
see
that? You. All right. 410. You're live.
What's up, guys?
Hey, hello. What's happening, man?
Hey, man, I got a lot to say about the Lomachenko fight, so if you don't mind, I'm just going to ramble through a few points and get it off as quickly as I can. First off, I'm going to say right off the bat, I thought Loma lost the fight. I thought he lost it 7-5. Secondly, I'm going to say this. His opponent is not only a player or a dark sheep, black sheep in the division. He's a straight-up contender for anybody in the division right now. That kid Ortiz, I was impressed with him when I seen him beat Jamal Herring, but I didn't want to overcredit him because Herring was old and a little worn out, coming off a loss, but I was very impressed with him. But he showed last night the poise for that kid in his first 12-round fight in his first title fight. I had him slightly edging Loma in the fight. However, boxing, like life, it's all about perception. If Loma would have done what he should have done, which was to come back and fight a mid-level contender, maybe someone with a little bit of a name, but a mid-level contender, he would have looked like the Matrix, and he would have did a number on the guy, and the whole perception of the Haney matchup would be different today, both by you guys and everybody else. But he chose to fight a undefeated, super talented fighter. This, I'm telling you right now, this kid Ortiz is the goods. And credit to Lomachenko for doing that, but from a marketing perspective, it probably wasn't the best move. That's why I'm a fan of Lomachenko. The fights he takes that are in between fights are better competition than most of these other guys are fighting when they're fighting their best fights. And Devin Haney is a perfect example. Devin Haney right now is overrated. His two wins over Kambosos and getting all those undisputed titles in one fight has got a lot of people overrating him. Now, that's not that he's not good. Of course he's good. I don't count the Linares win. He was 37 years old, had already been stopped 5 times. He got beat every time he stepped up. When he fought Gamboa, Gamboa was a 39-year-old former featherweight. And yeah, he won, and he beat Gamboa easily, but he should have. Devin Haney's a good fighter. He's a little overrated right now due to the Kambosos fight. He got the WBC title gifted for him, and he fought for undisputed against one opponent in one fight. Okay, he beat Kambosos. He's better than Kambosos. No argument there. Couple points of intrigue. Devin Haney is not just struggling to make the weight. You seen in the ring last night. He is probably a walk around junior middleweight. 135 is gonna sooner or later. That's going to catch up to him. It could be the next fight, or maybe, you know, if he fights Loma, maybe it won't be. But at some point, that weight cut is going to catch up to him. Also, Lomachenko had been a year inactive, and there's a war in his home country where I'm sure he has relatives. That had to be a distraction. So when you add all those things up, I would still slightly favor Haney right now because Loma's slipping a bit, and Haney's very good at controlling distance, like B said. That's going to be the problem is he's bigger. He's got all the physical advantages over Loma, and Loma can struggle with that. But it's mostly, you know, it's that coupled with he needs control of distance, because Loma is not going to be able to get inside easy past Haney's jab, and when he does, Haney will grab him and hold him just like he did to Kambosos in that fight. And so he could win the round, win the fight 8-4 Haney, or maybe even 9-3, because he'll use those type of tactics to get the victory. I got it maybe 55-45 in favor of Haney, but I don't think people should be misled. And like I say, I had Loma losing that fight last night in a close fight, but I thought that Ortiz edged it. But perception is a great deal of how we look at potential matchups, and Lomachenko could have came back and fought a slightly lesser opponent, and he most likely would have looked like the Matrix and all that shit that people talk, and the whole perception today would be different. So every night is different. Every fight is different. Haney was able to get past Kambosos. Lomachenko's a bit of a different animal. And also, to add, Lomachenko in that fight against Haney, not only would it be for the undisputed titles, it's also basically a career make or break fight for Lomachenko. So he's going to come super prepared, and I think it's going to be a competitive fight. I edge Haney right now, but anyone who thinks it's going to be an easy cakewalk is fucking absolutely deluded.
Are you serious? So okay, let me ask you a question.
We're deluded.
We are completely deluded. Let me ask you a question. You had Loma winning. You had Loma losing the fight last night, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you had Loma losing the fight, and you're claiming that this guy was better than he was. This guy is pretty good, you know, Jermaine Ortiz. I think Loma should have. I know Haney would have walked that guy last night. That's
well, you don't know that. You don't know that.
Fair enough.
You don't know that,
fought,
and I don't know
suspicion.
That.
I have a suspicion that Haney would have dog walked that guy last
night. He would have been a plus 2,000 if he fought Haney.
Absolutely would have been.
Well, you had a suspicion that Canelo was going to dog walk Golovkin in their third fight, and it didn't happen.
He did.
So let's face it, we can all.
What was the score? What were the scores in that fight, Beeb?
You had him stopping Golovkin and straight up dog walking.
He should have stopped Golovkin.
Of course, right, yeah, but he did.
If you win a fight 10 rounds, if you win a fight 10-2, I mean that's a. Pretty,
I mean, yeah, that's a pretty. That's a one-sided victory. Fight, no?
Yeah, well,
if Loma had so much trouble against Ortiz, and you said you said if he would have fought a lesser guy, but he didn't. He fought this guy Ortiz, so now he's going to fight another guy who I think is 10 times better than Ortiz. And Devin Haney.
Well, you think that because Devin Haney has gotten more opportunity and more promotion than Ortiz. You see, Ortiz.
Right, but this guy just got an
level.
Opportunity last night and couldn't make good on it.
Well, like I said, I thought he won the fight. Plenty of people thought he won the fight.
I don't know if anybody thought he won the fight.
Well, I've heard
that
he won.
I've heard 115-113 for Loma, and that's what I had it, by the way. But I couldn't make a case. For Loma losing that fight last night.
Well, I could, and I'm a Loma fan.
No.
I just call it right down the middle. And so when I say to you that Golovkin Canelo 3 wasn't a cakewalk, it wasn't a cakewalk. Did Canelo win
a
majority decision?
It was absolutely a cakewalk. Golovkin won one round. I gave Golovkin one round.
You got to calm down. You're breaking up. I can't hear what you're saying. You're too loud. You're breaking up. You're distorting. Whatever your signal is distorting. What's that?
How is that not a cakewalk? How is that not a cakewalk?
Did the fight go to the distance? Did Golovkin ever get knocked down or hurt? No, he didn't.
He won one
round.
So
that means it was a competitive fight. Yeah, of course he did. No argument there.
The fight was 8-4. It was 8-4.
Yeah. Okay, 8-4. So Canelo won 2/3 of the fight. Last I checked, that's a fairly competitive fight. But my point is this. Ortiz... Well, what's not competitive is what you suggested, which is Canelo was going to destroy and stop Golovkin. Then you're talking about a non-competitive fight. A fight that goes the distance and there's no knockdowns. A fight that goes the distance and there's no knockdowns.
So what you're saying is if someone doesn't get knocked out but they get blown out of there 10-2 or 9-3, so what you're saying basically is that's not a blowout? So when Devin Haney beat Kambosos 10
that's pretty much what I'm saying. numerically.
Okay, so you're saying any fight that doesn't end in knockout is not a blowout. That's ridiculous.
No, that's what you're saying.
I got to call you out.
That's what you're saying.
That's ridiculous.
You're saying because Golovkin
did not get knocked out, he wasn't beaten decisively by Canelo.
No, I'm not
saying
that.
Not one person on the face of this earth is going to say to you that Golovkin was competitive against Canelo in the third fight.
Incidentally, I had 117-111. I had that fight 117-111.
Well, I don't know that you speak for everyone on earth, but the point is this. I heard the prediction from your partner
ask
there.
People.
I don't need to ask people.
I'm
a longtime boxing fan. I can draw my own conclusion. I got no problem with the 8-4 scorecard.
But you have to understand you're in the minority. I said Bradley beat Pacquiao. I admit I'm in the minority because everyone else had Pacquiao. Majority of people had Pacquiao beating Bradley.
I had Bradley beating Pacquiao
in that fight. I can admit I'm in the minority.
Right.
You're in the minority in your opinion, sir.
That's fine. Judging fights are subjective, and that's my whole point. Everything is about a subjective view. If Loma would have fought a lesser opponent, he would have shined, and the perception today would be different than what it is. The guy took on an undefeated, young, super talented fighter, and Loma even said, this guy knows boxing. He knew what he was getting himself into, and I've even admitted, and I'm probably in the minority, I guess, that Lomachenko lost the fight in my estimation. However,
what makes you think he's competitive against Haney? If he had a hard time against this guy, why is it? And you said, sure, if he fought a lesser competition, he may have looked better. I get that. But he's stepping up his competition again by fighting Haney. This guy's not better than
Haney.
Well,
I mean, if I'm going to give you my opinion here. I think Ortiz is every bit as difficult as Haney. In fact, their styles are very similar. They're super similar styles, and their size is very similar. I just think Ortiz is a little bit faster than Haney and a little bit physically more stronger. The perception, because Haney's gotten too big.
We got to start drug testing these callers before they come on. We got to start drug testing.
You think Ortiz is faster than Haney?
I listen to you guys every week, and what I've heard you be wrong about is almost staggering. Okay, so it's not like I'm on an island. Yeah, it's not like I'm on an island with some type of...
Well, you know what's even more staggering? You know what's even more staggering? The one thing you said today... that Golovkin-Canelo 3 was competitive, that is more staggering than anything I've said in my whole life, sir.
I think the Ortiz comment that he's faster than Haney, I think that was, to me that was.
That's number two. He's a little stronger.
That's
number two on the staggering list. If you say one more thing, I'm probably going to fall out of my chair.
Well, fall out your fucking chair then, because, I've heard plenty of the things
Give me some oxygen here. Call 911. This guy's going to put me on the floor.
Well, get on the floor.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's probably where you belong. Bottom line is this.
That was uncalled for. I
heard he spends a lot of time on the floor. You know what I'm saying? That's just what I heard, though. I don't know.
That's
what I'm hearing.
Just like you were saying, giving Lomachenko shit for defending his country. He's not a soldier. Well, guess what? If you watch the Usyk interview prior to the fight, Usyk said that he had to do it, that he's enlisted over there. And if you're under 65, I think it's 65,
you have to go and do that. That was
an admirable thing for him to do. But I guess that's
I think
story.
He didn't have
you
to do it.
Honest.
He didn't have to do it, brother. He didn't have to do it.
Well, yes, he
did.
He
didn't have to do it.
Okay.
No,
well,
he didn't.
They volunteered to do it.
They didn't have to do it.
A few minutes ago, you spoke for everybody on Earth, so I guess I'll just have to believe what you say.
No, I spoke for the majority, brother. Again, I deal with
probability. You said everybody on Earth.
Not possibility. In my world,
everybody
I deal with probability,
Earth.
Not possibility. You want to talk out? You know what people start using outliers? When people start using exceptions to the rule, when they try to win an argument. In real life, you don't make decisions based off of
possibility. You make decisions based off of probability. Is that correct? So
said by the guy that just spoke for everybody on earth.
Let's be consistent. You're using exceptions and outliers to the rule because you want to win an argument. It's that simple. It's a weak debate tactic.
Buddy, you a few minutes ago you spoke for everybody on earth. Those were your words. And you're gonna sit here and lecture me about using the exception.
Again, you're gonna take out of context what
right.
I said, basically.
You're gonna take out of context everybody on earth.
The majority
was your exact words.
So I said the majority of people on earth. I didn't say everybody on earth. I said the majority of people on earth.
Roll it back, bro, and you can hear what you say.
Competitive.
Okay. Well, look, we disagree on what a competitive fight may be.
You think nine rounds to three is a competitive fight. You think nine rounds to three is a competitive fight. I will say everyone on earth will disagree with you on that one. There's not one person on the planet that's going to say nine rounds to three is a competitive fight.
I'm glad you're confirming what I said about you speaking for everybody on earth, because you just did it again.
Guilty.
You
got to
understand.
Speak. I will speak
if the
for
fight
everybody.
Goes the distance.
I will speak for everybody. That's still not going to validate. Because I'm speaking for everyone, is that going to validate the ridiculous point that you're trying to make, that nine rounds to three is a competitive fight? Is that your argument? So that's going to cancel out the ridiculous statement you made because I said I'm speaking for everybody? That's going to nine rounds to three is a good – you're going to sit there and say nine rounds to three is a competitive fight. Honestly.
Certainly can be, yes. You might need to take a couple shots of if you got some whiskey or something around there, because you're big mad, bro.
I'm certifiable. I don't shy away from that. I'm a couple sandwiches short of a picnic. Everyone knows that. I'm not ashamed of it.
Guess what?
I'm guilty as charged. You want to call me a knucklehead? That's fine. I'll concede the point.
Okay, well, since I'm calling in, let me finish my point, and then you can huff and puff and speak for everybody in the world as much as you like. I also thought Haney Kambosos 2 was competitive, and I had Haney winning probably 9 out of the 10 rounds. Yeah.
All right, you had Haney 9 to 10. You had Haney winning by 9 to 10 rounds?
Yeah. Yeah. But, again, you know, he doesn't have to agree with me. Boxing, like so many things, is about perception, and that's how I perceived it. You see, Kambosos was never knocked down in the fight. He was never hurt and in trouble to the point where he was, like, in danger of being stopped, really, that I could see. Did he lose numerically?
Why does someone have to be knocked out for a fight to be non-competitive?
Let me finish my point, and then you can talk. A noble little concept in English dialect is to refrain from speaking when someone else is speaking. Okay? You got the panel and the show. You're going
to
have plenty of time
to
talk.
Save you from yourself.
You're not saving me from anything, bro. I've been watching boxing probably longer than you've been alive. I got more
I've been watching ballet before. Doesn't mean I know what ballet. I'm a ballet connoisseur.
Don't talk about ballet.
I've seen freaking bobsledding before. Doesn't mean I'm a bobsledding connoisseur.
Well, yeah. Well, go talk about ballet because you're probably better suited for that.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
Right,
you're probably
it,
better
man.
At the pocket pool, but go ahead.
You just want to argue, bro. I just called up them to speak my piece and give my opinion, and you want to challenge me and speak for the world and just argue. So no point in going much
further.
Don't
speak for the world, because I've never heard anyone on this planet tell me that 9-3 is a competitive fight. You're the first person I've ever
heard. Maybe you're
and I've been watching
people
boxing
with low
longer
intellect.
Than you. I've been watching boxing longer than you. I've been watching boxing longer than you.
Sure you have. How old are you?
All right, gentlemen.
I'm 53 years old.
All right, I got to step in
here.
Okay,
I'm 53 too.
There you go.
I've been watching boxing 40 years.
When did you start watching boxing?
Are you guys going to box?
I've been watching boxing since I was 8 years old, brother, and I'm 53.
Yeah, well, you must have been splitting time with ballet. I've been watching boxing for 40 plus years. Ali was the heavyweight champ when I started watching boxing.
I've been watching boxing for 45 years. I've been watching boxing for 45 years. What does that mean? Does that mean I know more than people?
No, prove that all the time.
Yeah,
no,
9-3. 9-3 is a competitive fight in bizarro world, brother, not in this world.
Okay, all right.
That's ridiculous.
All right, well, go get yourself a couple pills and some NyQuil calm yourself down.
Jump back and jump back into the real world. Let me know when you jump back into the real world and you're not on the and you're not in the fifth dimension where in that dimension 9-3 is a fucking competitive fight. You're in bizarro world, brother. 9-3 is a competitive fight. What the fuck are you talking about, brother? That's ridiculous.
All right, he just hung up. He just hung up. He must have scared him.
In what world?
So he just hung up.
In what world is 9-3 a competitive
fight? I mean, was it more competitive than the first fight?
I don't think it was.
I mean, I thought that Kambosos made a better account of himself, but not by much. I don't know that I gave him any more rounds in the second fight than I did in the first fight. You know? So, yeah, man.
So, by his logic, if you don't knock somebody down and you don't knock somebody out, then you can't win in a non-competitive fight. So if you win 9-3 or 10-2, that's a competitive fight. Was Mayweather Canelo a competitive fight?
No.
So you thought it. You, I mean,
I thought it was a, you know, yeah, I had a bad judging night that
that's
night.
A bad
question.
That's a bad example.
But no, I don't know that it was that competitive. I really don't. I don't know that it was that competitive. You know, again, that Kambosos too was competitive. It wasn't really competitive. I mean, it wasn't. I don't know that you can. To me, competitive, Steve Forbes and Oscar De La Hoya. I thought that it was competitive to the point where Oscar won every round, but I thought Steve Forbes was in the fight. I mean, he didn't quit. That was competitive, but it wasn't. You know what I'm saying? I think I know where he's coming from, but I don't think, you know, it's hard to say the 10-2 fight was competitive.
I'll be honest with you. I don't know where he's coming from. I'm sorry. I don't know where he's coming from.
I think if the guy doesn't quit, the guy's in the fight. He, you know, I get it. I get it was competitive that way, but it was not competitive on the scorecards. It was competitive in the sense that the guy didn't quit. The guy gave everything he had. I get you, but it was not competitive on the scorecards. No,
that was one of Triple. That was one of Triple G's worst performances of his career.
I agree. It was absolutely bad.
How could that have been competitive?
I tell you what, I have no idea.
And that Kambosos
wasn't.
Fight,
I mean, you knew who won at the end of the fight.
Here's the problem with people's analysis of Devin Haney. If you don't like somebody's style, then automatically you're discrediting the guy as a fighter. If he has a style that you may not like, but his style is effective, then he should get credit for being effective at what he does. If you don't like the fact that he's not a knockout guy and he's kind of an outboxer, and when someone gets close to him, he grabs him. Kell Brook did the same thing. Amir Khan did the same thing. Floyd Mayweather did the same thing. You can go down the list of fighters. Klitschko was a jab and grabber. Johnny Ruiz was a jab. But again, they were all world champions. They were all good fighters. So you don't have to like how someone wins. But if they win, they win. It's just that simple. Just say, I don't like how Haney fights. He's boring. That's fine. But to sit there and say that he can't fight, he sucks, it's just stupid. It sounds ridiculous when I hear people say that.
I mean, the fact that he says that Jermaine Ortiz is faster than Devin Haney, have you seen Devin Haney fight? Man, come on. Now, stop. That's
if Devin Haney fought Jermaine Ortiz, Haney would probably –
My guess
probably
is he doesn't like
Haney.
And there's a lot of people like that who don't like Devin Haney. I get it. That's fine.
And you don't have to like how he fights. I'll be honest with you. I was not a huge fan of Muhammad Ali's boxing style, but he was a great fighter.
Sure.
I like guys like Leonard. I like those types. I like boxer punchers. That's what I like. I like guys who can fight on the inside a little bit, guys who are versatile. Ali was an outboxer. I don't like guys who just outbox. Particularly Haney style is not the type of style that I like, but I respect it because it's effective. He's good at it.
Right.
That's simple.
He's not a. It's not a fan-pleasing style. I don't think anybody's going to, you know, confuse that with Devin Haney's style. But, you know, Devin Haney doesn't have a fan-friendly style. It's okay.
And I'm going to say something. Beeb, why were you so hard on that guy? Beeb, why were you so loud? Why were you going crazy? Because they reach a level of ridiculousness. When something becomes so absurd, you have to step in. You know what I mean? Like, that, he was just saying things that, like, made no logical sense. Like, no one on the – I'm going to say it again. I have not heard one person on this planet, right, that said Golovkin, Triple G was three.
It was a close fight. It was a razor thin fight. No, absolutely not. It was a complete one-sided blowout. It really was. I mean, at no point was Triple G in that fight. Am I wrong about that? At no point Triple G was in that third fight. No. And I like Triple G, man. I thought he won the first fight. I thought he was robbed on the first fight.
He was just saying things. He was legitimately irritating me with how ridiculous he was talking. He was just saying things that just was just, they were just so, illogical.
I think that he's a Loma fan, but he's not necessarily a Haney fan. And I think that's where you get that kind of stuff. Because I think if he's being honest, he knows he's going to be favored in that fight. You know what I mean? It just is. And you're being dishonest with yourself if you don't think Loma has slipped a little bit. If you don't think he's about a quart lower than what he was a couple years ago, you're being dishonest with yourself. You can see it. And he says, he fought Jermaine Ortiz, who was a top-level contender. Yeah, I get you. But what do you think he's going to do against Haney that's a champion? And that's better than this guy. How do you think he's going to look then? And I get two different styles. I understand that. I'm just saying I don't think his style matches up. If you thought Teofimo did a number on him, what do you think Haney's going to do to him?
I just don't get it, man.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous.
Sly Tendencies, thank you so much, brother. He says, let's go, Joe. Got him on the ropes. I agree.
That guy was ridiculous.
Steve is great. There you go. All right. 267, you're live, and then we're going to get to the news.
What up, guys?
What's happening? Who are we talking to?
Drew.
Oh, Drew. Drew, I'm sorry. The Irish.
I know something. All day I've been looking on Twitter, hearing on YouTube, everybody's doubting Lomachenko. And I get it. He's getting old. He lost his step a little bit. And we're going by maybe a couple fights, but because he didn't start Comey and everything. He looked somewhat bad against this dude. I knew that he was going to look rusty against this guy. This guy, he's not a bad fighter. He's going to be a good contender. And the thing about it is, one thing this dude can do that Haney can't is fight on the inside. But we're going to say, oh, he's going to hold him and everything. But no one really thinks Lumber's still got that little footwork that can slip to the end when he tries to hold him and hit him. I don't think this is going to be a cakewalk for Haney. I don't even think Haney wins this fight. I think Loma still wins this fight still. I think we're going to see a better Loma than we did in this night, last night. And, like, that's how I see it. I think Devin Haney can't fight on the inside. And people, and even fighters that Loma's better than got in the inside, JoJo Diaz got in the inside a lot in the Devin Haney fight. That's the only thing that kept him somewhat in the fight, even though I had it 9-3. But it would have been worse if he couldn't get in the inside. But I really think people are really counting out Loma a little bit prematurely and everything. This Loma that was last night, I don't think he beats Haney, but I think Loma's going to be better when he fights Haney because he's going to probably have more time to train. He's back in that routine of training now because he hasn't been training properly in like 8 or 9 months because of the Ukraine thing. I'm not going to use it, but, you know, end of the day, I just don't want people using excuses if Devin Haney loses to Loma that he is weight draining and everything. Because I'm going to, if Loma loses to Haney, I'm going to say, hey, Haney beat Loma. Doesn't matter if he's old or not. He beat, Loma is still a threat to these guys as long as he's still fighting.
Let me ask you a question, Drew. Do you think that Lomachenko has problems with bigger fighters?
A little bit, but tell you the truth.
Because he had trouble last night. He had trouble against Teofimo.
But here's the thing. He adjusted, and those adjustments won the fight. He was able to get inside those fighters. He was able to land punches. He was able to get his hands over the tall fighter. And here's the other thing. Devin Haney has never fought a pure boxer in his career yet. This is going to be the first one he fights. And this, everybody else he's fought has been a guy that does not move often, that goes to go after him. Loma moves. Loma's a pure boxer. Let's see what Haney does against a pure boxer. Doesn't matter. I know he's old and everything, but let's see what he does against a pure boxer and everything. Because I'll tell you the truth, I think Shakur Stevenson wipes the floor with Devin Haney. I think the only one that can
that's more Shakur that's more believable fight, to me than Loma beat.
Yeah, I agree. I would agree.
I wouldn't argue against a Shakur fight, but here's the thing. Here's the thing with Lomachenko. Lomachenko's not a physical guy on the inside. He's not a great inside fighter either. Orlando Salido mauled the hell out of him on the inside, right? Devin Haney is not a good offensive fighter on the inside, but I'll tell you one thing Haney is good at on the inside. He's great defensively on the inside. He knows how to nullify defensive attacks. He knows how to walk you back and position you where he wants to position you. Lomachenko has those short little arms. He's a mid-range guy. He's not an inside fighter. His style is not suited for Devin Haney, to be honest with you. Everything Teofimo Lopez did to Lomachenko, I think Haney can do probably even better.
Better.
He's taller. He's taller, longer, and faster than Teofimo Lopez, in my opinion. And he's more disciplined, and he's better defensively.
And
you know, if you think Loma can win the fight, say again.
Haney leaves himself open at times.
Who, Haney?
Yeah, he does.
Everyone leaves himself open.
Yeah, you have to leave yourself open. Yeah.
I mean, When you throw a punch, you're going to leave yourself open. You throw a punch, there's always some degree of vulnerability you're leaving yourself open to. But he recoups quicker.
But
he recoils quick. He's got quick reaction time.
Well, here's the thing. That's because he's fighting guys that aren't that disciplined. Because he ain't fighting a pure boxer. Now he's going to fight a pure boxer. We're going to see how really disciplined he really is. And that's
what is a pure boxer though? I mean, what is a pure boxer? I don't think Haney's a pure boxer, and I'll tell you why. Because he's not, to me, who a pure boxer is? Terrence Crawford. You know why? He could fight on the outside. He could fight on the inside. He could fight on the mid range. He could bang you out. He could box you. He can outmaneuver you. Lomachenko is a finesse guy. He's a mid range. Ambush type of fighter. He's not a pure boxer. He's not an out boxer. Haney's more of a pure boxer than Lomachenko is. I don't think Lomachenko is a pure boxer. I think he's a guy that has a lot of flashy. Here's the thing, man. This is my opinion again, and I respect your opinion because you're at least presenting your argument in a logical way.
Right.
The other guy was coming. The other guy was coming from the quantum realm. I don't even know. If he has, I don't know what happened. If he was in a different time, fucking warp planet or whatever. But here's the thing, man. I think a lot of things that Lomachenko did because he's so flashy and the way he moves and everything. It's a lot of smoke and mirrors, man. It's a lot of smoke and mirrors. I think that he moves. You know, he's got a lot of flashy movement and stuff. But at the end of the day, like I said, man, he attacks in straight lines, bro. He attacks in straight lines. I'm not going to say he's not a good fighter. I'm not going to say he's not good at what he does. But he has not improved since moving up to 135. He was a much better fighter at 130.
135 is not his weight. 135 is not his weight.
He's openly said that he is too small for this weight class. First thing he said when Devin Haney walked into the ring yesterday was, he goes, are you a lightweight or a heavyweight? And he said the same thing to Teofimo Lopez. Again, You don't get – when you have a guy whose main defense is his legs, your legs don't get better, man. That was the first thing to go as a fighter, man. You know, the odds will reflect this. We'll have it a 50-50 fight. I'm not disagreeing with you there. I just think Haney's going to win the fight clear.
The odds makers are going to have I disagree with that, Joe. I think that the odds makers are going to have that fight. Haney is going to be a huge favorite.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Maybe after this performance. But I'm sorry for hijacking your call, Philly. Finish up what you were going to say. I'll let you go.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm even going to go on the site and put a bet down on Lomachenko beats Haney. That's how confident I am Loma beats Haney. Because
okay.
I see flaws in Haney's game that Loma can explore. And I'll tell you the truth, if Loma don't beat him, he ducks at Carl Stevenson. I'm telling you that right now. He ducks at Carl Stevenson, moves up to 140.
I'll be honest with you. I don't know that he does duck Shakur Stevenson. I just don't think Top Rank puts them together. I don't think that either one of those guys are scared to fight each other. But if I agree with you. If he doesn't get Loma, he's going to 140. And Shakur will fight a little bit longer before he goes to 135.
All right. But I got to go, guys. Have a good night.
All right, man. You too. All right. Philly Drew. Good call. Yeah, Jerry's usually on point with his calls, man. Today he was a little off, I got to be honest. And I do think there's a lot of hate for Haney out there. I really do. And whether you like him or don't like him, you got to respect it. I mean, you got to respect his talent. You got to respect his – you know what I mean? He's not just some schlep in
there.
Listen,
I openly dislike Floyd Mayweather as a person.
Absolutely.
But he is clearly, in my opinion, clearly, by far and away – the best fighter of his era.
Yeah.
And I would argue he's one of the best fighters of all time. Take your emotions out of it.
Yeah, I'm not big on – yeah, I'm the same as you.
I don't like Floyd Mayweather at all.
I can't stand him.
I don't like Floyd Mayweather at all. When I listen to him speak, I my stomach turns. I just don't like him.
No.
But he's a phenomenal fighter.
You can't
take
that.
Phenomenal.
You know,
take it away.
First ballot Hall of Famer. He's a fantastic fighter. You know, is he the best fighter ever? I don't know about that. I don't necessarily know that.
I think
but,
at least he deserves to be.
Is he in the conversation? Yes.
In the conversation.
Absolutely. No
and
question.
Hamid, with all due respect, that Jerry did not make any good points that call. That guy gets no love.
Oh, stop it.
I mean, if I saw him right now, I'd probably buy him a drink or whatever and take him out to dinner. I mean, it's not that I dislike the guy, but I mean, I don't know what happened to him today.
Yeah, he had an off day. Hey, listen, it happens to the best of us. Never happens to me, but I can sympathize with it, even though it never happens to me. There you go. All right, let's talk about the upcoming fights, Beeb, and there is a good one on the horizon here. November 1st, what is that, Tuesday? I guess that's Tuesday. In Saitama, Japan. They love those weekday fights over there.
Yeah.
Kenshiro Taraji versus Hiroto Kayaguchi, 12 rounds for Taraji's WBC junior flyweight title and Kayaguchi's WBA super junior flyweight title. So there you go. November 5th from Abu Dhabi. Why is this fight in Abu Dhabi? This doesn't make any sense to me, but
I can't figure this one out. I can't figure this one out.
Eddie Hearn, you know how it is, man. On the zone from the UAE, November 5th, Dimitri Bivol versus Gilberto Zirdo Ramirez, 12 rounds for Bivol's WBA light heavyweight title. Jessica McCaskill versus Chantel Cameron, that's a throwaway fight. That's a go-to-the-fridge fight. Rachmaninoff versus Zelfa Barrett, 12 rounds for the vacant IBF junior lightweight title. Galyafai and Calyafai also on the undercard. Not a great card, but that main event, that's what we're looking for. Dimitri Bivol versus Gilberto Ramirez. We're going to talk about that in just a second. Also, on Showtime, November 5th, David Morrell Jr. versus Eidos Yabosumuli. 12 rounds for Morrell's WBA. This is the best I got, man. 12 rounds for Morrell's WBA super middleweight title. Yoelvis Gomez versus Jason Rosario, 10 rounds middleweights. And there you go. So not a super great card there, but I'll definitely watch it. Definitely watch it. Beeb, I've said it since the fight was announced. Zyrto Ramirez is going to beat Dmitry Bivol. And Bib, I've been ridiculed at every turn because Bivol is the guy who beat Canelo. Not a natural 175, but considered the best pound-for-pound. I guess he was the best pound-for-pound on the planet at that time.
We'll give him that.
Zyrto Ramirez, to me, is a guy that's never gotten his due. He's a guy, he almost reminds me a lot of Winky Wright in the sense, not his fighting style, but in the sense that he never really, until he never really got the credit he deserved until he was in the big fight. This, to me, is going to be Zyrto's big fight. And I believe he manhandles Bivol. I believe he outboxes Bivol. I believe he puts hurt on Bivol. I believe Ramirez walks out of here with a unanimous decision.
The big thing here is the southpaw stance of Ramirez and his jab and his ability to fight on the inside. Now, obviously, Canelo's game was to get on the inside. But the problem with Canelo when he got on the inside was he couldn't land his shots. He couldn't put himself in position where he landed his shots. Because Zyrto is so much bigger and stronger than Bivol, he's going to be able to outmaneuver him on the inside in terms of he's going to outman him on the inside. He's going to if the opening is not there enough where he's going to force the opening. He knows how to split the guard very well. He's really good at throwing those short uppercuts and those body shots on the inside. And because his jab is so good, he'll be able to start the attack on the outside and finish it on the inside, whereas Canelo was not able to start the attack on the inside. He basically mauled his way in, barreled his way in without a jab. Ramirez is not going to barrel his way in without the jab. Ramirez is going to jab his way in. He's going to hook off that jab. And, you know, when he gets close, he's going to push Bivol back. He's going to lean on Bivol, right? When he gets close, he's going to use that size. He's going to outweigh, you know, he's not going to be in there, Bivol, with a smaller guy. He's going to be in there with a significantly bigger guy. And I think a significantly stronger guy, right? So if you're not able to stop a Bivol, you're not able to stop that offensive onslaught of Bivol, Ramirez, then it's going to be hard. I think Ramirez, another thing he does much differently than Canelo is he fights a faster pace, throws a lot more punches, throws combinations, doesn't throw one punch at a time, works off the jab. Canelo doesn't throw a lot of jabs. Ramirez does. Ramirez throws a lot more punches, throws a lot more combinations. You could argue that maybe he even goes to the body more than Canelo does because Canelo has started becoming a headhunter later in his career. So you got a guy in Ramirez who's not going to abandon the jab, who's going to fight at a faster pace, who has a better gas tank than Canelo, who's bigger and stronger than Canelo, right? And a guy who can fight on the inside and on the outside, right? And a guy who is going to not slow down, and when he gets close, he's going to use his size. So that's the advantage. He's going to maximize his advantages, where Canelo really couldn't. Right? What was Canelo's advantage in the Bivol fight? Maybe you could say power, but that's even questionable. At one point.
I don't even think he was. I don't even think he had power in there. As far as I thought Bivol was stronger. I thought Bivol was the better boxer. I thought Bivol kind of had his way with Canelo, to be honest with you.
So this Ramirez fight is interesting, and I think a lot of people are going to be surprised next week. Because I think you and I are the only people who are picking Ramirez.
We're the only ones, Bib. Everybody in the chat, there's no way, blah, 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 no way he wins. Bivol washes him, blah, blah, blah. We'll see. We'll see. Jerry's still in the chat, Bib. You really got under his skin there, man. You really did, man. Bib, I think you need to apologize, man. I think you were
on the line. One thing I don't do is I don't kick a man when he's down. I already knocked you out, so I'm not going to kick. I'm not going to kick you anymore.
That's right.
You want to call back in and you can talk. I won't even interrupt you this time. Call back in and I'll just let you go and I'll just pretend it's comedy out.
That was uncalled for. That was a backhanded compliment.
I recognize that to be a backhanded compliment.
I want you to apologize.
I'm going to extend the olive branch to you. Next time you call in, I will give you the floor uninterrupted.
Yeah.
And I will.
Maybe
I
sort of hijacking his calls.
And I will. And I will. And I will. I will. I will. You know, contain myself. I will contain.
Maestro myself. Picking Zerto as well. I love it. I love it. All the experts picking, you know, Zerto. What are you gonna do? But it is what it is, man. Told you. Zerto's the goods. I'm telling you, this is his coming out party, man. I'm telling you. I got a good feeling about this. Beeb does too. There you go.
Yeah.
All right, news and rumors here. Jake Paul and Anderson Silva set a ticket record. Apparently it was the highest grossing boxing event for ticket revenue in the history of the Desert Diamond Arena, formerly Gila River Arena, and the second highest grossing ticket event across all combat sports with 6 days to go until the fight. This was last week. This was last week when these numbers came out. How crazy is that, right?
Yeah.
Did you know where Jake Paul's from? Everybody comes out for to see Title Town, baby. Everybody.
I heard he's from Ohio.
Absolutely. Title Town.
Yeah.
Ah, look who jumps on the bandwagon. Look who jumps on the bandwagon, babe. Rob, I've got Gilberto Ramirez beating Dimitri also.
Robbie,
come on,
stop it. You know why you're a fraud, Robbie? Because you waited for both of us to pick him. When you were on the line when we didn't say who we were picking, right?
That's it.
So stop with the fraud.
Can't do that. Can't do that.
I know it's your birthday, and I'm trying to be nice to you on your birthday.
He's trying. You got to give it to him. He's trying.
I tried to be nice to you on your birthday, but
you got credit.
You know, you want to act like a clown, you get treated like a clown.
Oh, come on. I think that's gone too far, Beeb. Come on. I think that's a little too far. I mean, you
know. I think I went far enough, to be honest with you.
Well, I'm about having fun just like everybody else, but that's too far.
I mean,
I set the
phasers on stun for that one. I didn't even put them on kill.
Stop it. What's the matter with you?
Using basic Joe Beeb tactics on him. Not even advanced Joe Beeb tactics. I'm smashing him out with basic Joe Beeb tactics. Yeah, imagine if with Jerry was on the line, if I went full all out, highest level Joe Beeb tactics.
Some fights just aren't worth happening, Beeb. You know,
I mean, I said it on easy mode, and I was taking out Jerry with basic Joe Beeb tactics.
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible. Ryan Garcia, Beeb, and Gervonta Davis, have agreed to the framework of a deal. What does that mean? I have no idea. And they have agreed to the framework of the deal. Hey, you want to fight? Yeah, I want to fight. Okay, the framework is agreed. You want to fight for a lot of money? Yeah, that sounds good. The framework is made. Beeb, is this fight going to happen?
That's like walking in to a fucking, to a mortgage company or whatever, or you go down to the bank. I agree to the framework of this mortgage.
Right.
I'm going to agree to the framework of a $100,000 deposit here, just the framework of it all. But I'm not going to actually give you the $100,000. But I agree to the framework of the $100,000. Like, what the fuck does that even mean, bro? This is, like, ridiculous. This is ridiculous. This fight's not happening. It's never going to happen. So, I mean, let's just call it what it is. They want to sit there and get to a pissing contest. Should the fight be on the zone? Should it be on Showtime? Blah, 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 blah. You know, it's kind of funny how, like, the zone had no problem, you know, letting Canelo go over to the, PBC to fight Plant. They had no problem with Joshua, you know, fighting on Sky, right? So why are they holding so tight? Hold on so tightly to Garcia. Like, if they really want to.
I don't know that they are. I got to be honest with you, Beeb.
Okay.
Terrence Crawford is a free agent, son, and he still couldn't make the fight with Errol Spence.
Yeah, so I don't know.
What's the common denominator here? Yeah. Beeb, Haney, and Loma were probably going to fight, right? Probably.
Yeah, PBC.
PBC is what?
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
they're always the determinant. You're right.
Always the common denominator.
That's true.
Like it or not, they are always
the Steve Kim said the same thing on Twitter. I mean, I think he made a point. I think he made a good point. I think you're mean.
Always the common denominator here.
You're right.
You know?
See, Jerry, I can concede points, you know?
So you got to know how to land that right hand, Jerry. You got to know how to land it, baby.
Jerry, see how this is, Jerry?
Robbie,
concede points sometimes.
Incidentally, Robbie resents you calling him a fraud. He just texted me to let me know. He resents you calling him a fraud. There you go. All right, Feed, Black Prime. I told Maestro early in the week they're going to blow up because of what they just did, because whoever is running Black Prime conduct business, right? They know how. You know why Black Prime knows how to conduct business? Hang on. Let me just tell you. AB, son. Adrian the Problem Broner from Titletown itself, Cincinnati. And now, let me tell you what, Black Prime is going to the moon, Daddy. Adrian Broner has signed a 3-fight, 8-figure deal with my good friends at Black Prime. I mean, come on.
Sports, man. Shout out to Blue Blood Sports. I heard he put it together for him. he was an integral part of getting that Crawford deal done. I got to shout him out.
I'm sure he was. Yeah, I'm sure he was.
Shout out to you, Blue Blood. You didn't see the interviews? No.
8-figure deal, son. 8 figures. Come on.
That's how it's done, man.
Maestro knows. Everybody knows. Don Ramon says Black Prime sounds like a trash nice way to exclude every demographic that's not black.
Hey, don't say that. At this very moment, Ringside Reporter and Beeb Industries are in negotiations to what?
Black Prime, baby.
We're already in negotiations with Black Prime.
I will tell you this, no matter what you think, Don Ramon, Black Prime loves us. They love everybody.
That's right. Shout out to Blue Blood Sports, man.
Black Prime has learned the mistakes of Triller? Absolutely. There you go. Beeb, in all seriousness, a 3-fight deal for roughly what? You got to figure what, $3 to $4 million a fight?
Maybe.
That's a, because that would be, I would imagine it's low 8 figures, so you're looking at $10 million or something like that. But granted, that's a lot of money, don't get me wrong, but. Is Broner worth that?
I have an old saying. You're worth whatever you can negotiate.
There you go. There it is. Hey, that's great, man.
Whatever you can negotiate, that's what you're worth, man.
There you go.
Right.
I love it, man.
I love it, man.
All right. Some sad news for the PBC. Wilder versus Helenius reportedly did 75,000 pay-per-view buys. 75,000. Beeb, that is a rock-bottom number, if I have ever heard of a rock-bottom number.
That's bad.
$80 for that steaming pile of hot garbage.
I bought it.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you bought that fight. I can't. We're going to do an intervention on you soon, trust me.
But I was able to offset my expenses because of that military discount. I got a $25 coupon.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Where do you get those at?
Well, because Comcast, right, they have this thing on the website. So you apply for a military discount plan, and they send you, like, coupons, and you can apply the coupons to either your bill or you can buy, like a movie or something with it.
Huh.
All you have to do is, like, take a picture of your DD-214, which I have so conveniently in my closet, and you just upload it, and you send it to Comcast.
Awesome.
And they said, thank you. They said, thank you, Mr. Beeb, for your service.
Beeb, 75,000, this, I mean, really, like, this isn't much. I mean, that's not good for pay-per-view. That's not good.
No, it's not good.
I think
me versus Robbie on pay-per-view could sell more than 77,000 pay-per-view buys.
I think you may be right. I think you may be right.
And I would even take a dive for Robbie because I feel bad for him.
Oh, come on. Nobody wants to. He doesn't want any charity. He wants to fight you, you know?
I would even take a dive for him.
Oh, come on.
Make him look good for once in his life.
Oh, babe. Come on. What's the matter with you?
I'm so happy for him, though, man. How old are you now? Like 58, did he say?
58. 58 years young.
That's a great number, man.
There you go. Reese Mack says Wilder Helenius wasn't exactly a pick'em fight. Ain't paying $80 or whatever for that fight, especially the way things are nowadays.
I gotta agree.
That was a lousy pay-per-view from top to bottom. It really was. That was not a pay-per-view card. Do you think this continues, though? Do you think they continue to put nonsense on there, knowing that return is like that?
Well, did you hear what AB said? They had like a video of AB talking about Showtime.
Uh-huh.
And he's basically saying boxing, Showtime boxing is done. We've been hearing this. There's been rumblings that I guess Paramount's going to buy Showtime or take over Showtime. That Paramount network? I don't know if you've ever heard of them.
I have. Yeah, they're going to take over Showtime, right?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
That's what I'm hearing, too.
And there's also been a question on whether or not when they do take over, they're going to continue with the boxing program.
That's a big talking point. Yeah.
So I've been hearing rumblings about how Showtime has been having issues with their budget. And as I've said before.
Was that a Showtime pay-per-view? That was a Showtime pay-per-view.
Yeah, because if you notice, most of these Showtime fights have been on pay-per-view because, once again, they don't want to pay the rights fees for the event. So if you put it on pay-per-view, they don't have to shoulder the financial burden of the fight. So the fight, you know, the fighter's purse, a great deal of the fighter's purse is dependent upon the pay-per-view revenue, right? So that in itself will tell you that neither Fox nor Showtime is really, you know, committed to paying the rights fees for a lot of these fights. That's why they're all on pay-per-view.
Right. Yeah.
That's not a good thing.
No.
You know?
No, it's not. And I predict that if Paramount does take it over, you're going to see the boxing slowly go, you know.
And here's another.
Slowly
starts
to disappear from Showtime.
Here's another thing, too. I'm going to say something that, you know, it's very cynical.
The maestro saying it was Fox, not Showtime.
The Wilder thing with the Fox. Yeah, I think it was the Fox. Oh, yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Same thing. Fox, again, they're not going to pay for it. They're not going to pay for the rights fees either. They're not going to commit. Yeah,
if that was
right.
A Fox pay-per-view, if that was a Fox pay-per-view, that's really bad. There's no way those executives could be happy with that number.
Yeah. He's right. It was. He's right. It was Fox. But, yeah, going back to what I'm saying, I'm going to say something very cynical. I hope, like, some of these, like, Showtime and Fox stop showing boxing, and I'll tell you why. Because we need to kind of centralize boxing. We'll never centralize it fully. But I think having too many of these platforms actually became a problem, because now you had everyone signed to certain network deals, right? Certain promoters working with certain networks signing these long-term deals that have the fighters attached to it. And then you have these things like, oh, this guy can't fight that guy because he's tied to this. This guy can't fight that guy because he's tied here. So now if you get rid of some of these platforms, you know, in theory, you would have thought it would have been a good thing because more networks, more boxing.
Yeah.
But it kind of oversaturated the market. Just like when you have a league and you start adding teams, right? Mm-hmm. The teams become weaker, right? Because more players are able to be in the league, right? And the team, and then you have with the teams, the league starts becoming watered down. I think now, because of all of these platforms that have been bringing boxing to us, right? I think it's actually diluted the sport, and now this is the reason why we have poorer matchups, right? And then you have these obstacles of fighter A can't fighter B because he's on this side of the street, that side of the street.
Right.
So I think it was better when we just had HBO and Showtime, because better fight, we were getting better fights, were we or were we not?
We definitely had better fights. Better fights on HBO. HBO always had good fights, it seemed like.
There was less obstruction, correct?
Yes.
So again, I wouldn't be sad to see Showtime go. I wouldn't be sad to see Fox go.
No.
I wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't either. Because they'll come up on other platforms. Now, will we still get the big fights? That I don't know. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Conor Benn, your boy, babe. failed a second drug test, forfeits his license. He's going to lose a lot of time on this one. He's going to get suspended. What do you think? I mean, I want to say at least a year, at least.
He'll probably get more than a year because the UK in UK, they're a lot more stricter than we are.
So let me ask you a question. If he's suspended there and he comes here, would it still be the same thing? Would they honor the suspension?
I do believe, right, that the major commissions over here will follow suit because they don't want to lose credit. Like, if he comes over here and decides to apply for a Boston license in Nevada State, they're not going to want to lose credibility and allow him to fight, man, after knowing what, like, you know what I'm saying? It's bad publicity for any major commission to allow him to fight. Now, could he go to Saudi? Could he go to Abu Dhabi?
Sure, he could go there, yeah. I don't think they
give a fuck.
Yeah, it's a B sample, guys, not a second drug test he failed. It's a B sample.
Yeah, I don't know. Some people are saying he failed twice. They're saying he failed in July and he failed in August. I don't know.
He's got a lot of problems. I know that.
Yeah, he's got a lot of problems.
He's got a lot of problems, yeah.
Yeah, so, again, I don't think anyone would want to touch him with a 10-foot pole because it would affect their standing in the sport, and it would make them look very, very not credible if they would accept that. You know what I mean? If Nevada was going to allow him to fight, then it would give the impression of, yeah, this is just the wild, wild west.
Typically, Nevada usually follows those type of rules.
Yeah, they all – Nevada, New York, California, they're not going to let him fight. Now, again –
if he wants to fight, he can find a place to fight. But I don't know.
But
the
statement he made saying that I'll never fight for the British Border Control ever again. I don't know.
Is it?
Yes. A couple people on YouTube said this, and I agree with them. Who's handling his PR? I have never – like, we've seen many fighters fail PED tests before in the past. And, again, correct me if I'm wrong, has there ever been a situation handled – more incompetently and worse than this situation in regards to PED? This has just been a major fuck show to the highest of proportions. I've never seen it like a drug test scandal like this handled so poorly in my life.
I agree.
Ever.
I agree.
This has been a total fuck show. No one's looking good coming out of this.
Connor is going to sue. My guess is that Connor is going to sue the British Board of Boxing, sue them. But as far as how much time he gets, that's going to be a big one. I mean, you're looking at a year off, 2 years off, maybe?
A year off
is a lot.
They gave Tyson Fury a 2-year retroactive ban for his Mandarin loan.
Yeah.
I don't see him getting off with anything less than 2 years. And this whole thing about, oh, we're not suspending him for the failed PED test, we're suspending him for misconduct. Okay, what's the misconduct? I guess the misconduct is he failed the PED test. Again, why are they trying to, like, fucking complicate this and just make this, like,
I think because – I'll tell you what, because I think that if the British Boxing Board didn't step in, that fight could have gone off. And there was no reason for that fight to go on. Not when you know the guy has got PEDs in the system.
And the fact that you kind of knew
that's what the drug was for. The drug wasn't. The drug is a estrogen suppressor. What it was. You don't take those. Guys don't take those unless. There you go.
And the fact that you know, they knew about this test, like the two tests back in July, and the BBOC was just sitting on this.
Well,
this
did they know about it? I guess that's my question.
They're saying they did. They're saying they did. That's what's being reported.
Why did they just sit on it then?
That's the thing. Like, I'll tell you one thing. You know who looks the worst coming out of this more than anybody? Outside of Conor Benn.
I was going to say, outside of Conor Benn, who?
The BBOC.
They suspended him with no real. He's not even suspended. They just
then
wouldn't
he doesn't
let the
even
fight
show
go
up.
Off.
He doesn't even show up to the hearing, and then he relinquishes his license. Like whoever just voluntarily relinquishes their license, if that's almost an admission.
Why
of
not show up there? Why not show up there and then plead your case?
Why not hold on to your license?
Right.
And deal with the repercussions of the hearing and the investigation.
Right.
But by you just voluntarily relinquishing your license, saying I'm never going to fight for the BBOC again, and you're acting like you were treated unfairly. Like what was done? You were given probably more leeway than anyone I've ever seen in this situation because you almost were allowed to fight. And they knew about your failed test back in July. And they were still trying to figure out a way to let this fight go on. And who knows if the information wasn't leaked out there, if this fight would have gone on or not. We still don't know that.
If they knew, if the BBOC knew back in August.
July, they're saying.
Or July. If they knew back in July that he failed, then Ben's got a lawsuit. Or does he? I don't know because he still cheated. But I don't know.
The reason why he doesn't have a lawsuit is I don't think you can prove that the BBOC violated any of their policies. Because they do have a policy. See, you know why? This is why they're suspending him from misconduct. They're doing this to protect themselves because you just made a great. They knew about it in July and they did nothing about it. That's their problem. So if they were gonna discipline him for the drug test, then why did they wait so long to do it? In other words,
right.
So now what they're doing is. They have something in their rules that says they could suspend someone from misconduct. So that's why they're suspending him from misconduct, because they were contemplating allowing this fight to go on and possibly doing the investigation after the fight, sort of like when Fury had that issue with Christian Hammer, and then they wait for that fight to take place, and afterward, then they did an investigation on it, and then it came out later that he failed the PED test. So they've already have proven to be very incompetent in the way they handle this, you know, the PED, situation, right? Well, that's the thing, man. That's the thing. So they fucked up the BBOC because they knew back in July and in August, because what's being reported is he failed two tests, one in July, one in August, and they waited to what? When was this fight scheduled to happen? And September, well, this fight's scheduled in October, right?
I think so.
And yeah, so they let this all play out and did nothing about it until October, when they knew like months prior, 3 months prior.
It's not a good look.
So, it's not a good look for them either.
Yeah, it's
so
not
I guess
a good look
Eddie
for
Hearn,
either every for anybody there, to be honest with you.
I guess Eddie Hearn's thing is, you know. His beef with the BBOC, and now I'm starting to kind of, you know, understand his point a little bit. I still don't like how he's handling it, but I understand his point a little bit.
No, I don't like how he's saying it either.
He's saying to himself, well, I'm not the commission. I don't have the authority to, you know, decide whether the fight goes on or not. That's up to the commission. And if they're not going to make that decision, or they're going to wait to make that decision, then I'm just going to, it's business as usual.
Right.
So what's he going to do? Now, could he just say, okay, I'm going to pull the plug on this fight because I know I don't want this to happen? Then again, you know, then he has a lawsuit, and Conor Benn can sue him for breach of contract because yeah. Then Conor Benn can turn around and say, you know, why are you stopping the fight when it's up to the commission to stop the fight, not you? You see what I'm saying? So now, even though I don't like the way Eddie Hearn handled it and the things he said, I kind of understand his position now a little bit. Because he's saying to himself, well, if the BBOC is not going to act on this, it's not my place to pull the plug on this. I have an obligation to my fighter. Right? So outside of Conor Benn, the biggest fuck-up here is the BBOC, in my opinion. They fucking handled this horribly.
I agree. All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1. Find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. And you can find me on Twitter at ringside73. And we will see you guys next week.